Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter.
Well, hello again, everybody. Welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the digital marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is Wednesday, June 17th, 2015. Hope you're having a great day out there. Hope you've had a great couple of weeks since the last time I talked with you. There is so much good stuff to talk about this week. Just a ton of stuff. And I wanted to start off by saying that I'd gotten an email from Brian in Orlando. And Brian was asking all about, you know, I've been talking a lot about, both here on the podcast and on the blog, about disruption and what disruption is and how you should respond to it and things along those lines. But Brian really wanted to know, what does disruption really look like? What does disruption really mean to my business? How can I get in front of this and be more responsive to it? And I'm paraphrasing because I'm looking at the email right now. It's Brian, you sent a beauty of an email. It's got some great questions. I'm kind of boiling it down to the most fundamental of those. And I think it's a really important question to understand what it means for your business. There was a great piece in the Washington Post, a very high-level piece by Steve Case. Now, Steve Case was the guy who founded AOL years ago, way back in the 80s. And Steve Case himself disrupted some fairly significant companies when in the late 90s, AOL, America Online at the time, AOL, bought Time Warner, which nobody saw coming. I was there, I can tell you, this came as a massive, massive shock to people. Because here was this little internet startup, this company that provided dial-up internet access to most of the country that came out of nowhere. You know, went from just being these people who sent you floppy disks and CDs in the mail every couple of weeks trying to get you to sign up, to being one of the biggest media and entertainment conglomerates in the world in the span of, what, 10 years, 15 years, tops? Hugely, hugely disruptive in terms of what they did. And in his Washington Post piece, which is written at sort of the 100,000 foot level, Case explains how the internet is about to change again, how we're about to go into an entirely new world of disruption. And so I want to talk about that a little bit and what it means for different businesses, what it means for different industries. And I'm going to use a couple of examples, and I'm going to talk about how you can respond. Now, first, I want to talk about what's driving disruption. And it should come as no surprise that the single biggest thing driving disruption is, well, there's two. First, there's the internet itself. There's the fact that your customers have the internet everywhere. As anyone who's listened to the show for any amount of time, or it has, you know, read the blog for any amount of time over at timpeter.com/blog. Yes, that is a shameless promo. Shameless plug for the blog. But as anybody who's read the blog or listened to the podcast for any amount of time knows, the internet is now everywhere. Your customers no longer go online. They are online. They carry the internet in their pocket with them wherever they go. And then the second thing is the second part of that. It's not just that the internet is everywhere, but it's mobile has really driven this. It has made it such that your customers can do what they want, when they want, wherever they want, really simply, really in a very straightforward manner. Which led to the dumbest headline I've seen in a long, long time. You know, I don't want to call anybody out about this. Usually, I try to be pretty nice about this. But this is the craziest thing I've seen. There's a post over on Mobile Commerce Daily where they write that 42% of customers, they're basically talking about this as a problem for mobile, where they say, 42% of customers had never shopped on mobile. I mean, oh my God, 42% have never shopped on mobile, despite the fact that almost 60% have, and despite the fact that just a few years ago, no one could. So sure, I guess 40% never having done it is, you know, interesting, and maybe 60% or almost 60% isn't as big a number as we would like yet. But come on, folks. I mean, which number do you think is growing? Which of those numbers do we need to be more conscious of? And so it's driving this reality where your customers can do whatever they want, wherever they want. Now, we've already seen some old school disruption. We've seen people like record labels getting shunted aside by first Napster and later iTunes. And now Pandora and Spotify and possibly Apple Music and Tidal, though probably not Tidal, who are we kidding? But we're seeing the old models go away as the new models are coming in, and it's a new way for customers to interact with the content they want. We've seen it in publishing in a big, big way. I mean, there's all kinds of data out there that shows how badly publishing has gotten hurt by this. We've seen it a lot with things like travel agents. And I want to be fair. When this kind of disruption occurs, it doesn't mean that the whole sector gets wiped out. It doesn't mean everybody goes out of business. What it does mean is that some of the bigger players end up failing or taking enough of a hit to the top line that the only way they can survive is to consolidate. Right? So it doesn't mean that everybody goes away. There are still successful travel agents. There are still successful publishing companies. There are still successful people in the music industry. But they're not the same people there were, what, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, in some cases. And the ones who didn't make it because they thought it wouldn't happen to them. Now, we're still seeing it going on in retail. In the late 90s, we used to talk about people getting Amazoned, where Amazon would enter an industry or enter a market segment, and the next thing you know, you'd be in big trouble. Obviously, bookstores. When's the last time you went into a major bookstore? I mean, remember Borders? You know, Barnes & Noble's is still hanging on there, but Borders is gone. There's lots of great independent bookstores doing really cool stuff, but they're doing it by being decidedly not Amazon. They've succeeded because they've adapted to the reality of how customers want to interact with their content and with their media today. So that's a good thing. Now we're going through the next phase where we're seeing increasing entry by Google into the space. You know, I've talked about how Google's wallet is going to be a big play here and how Google's buy now button is going to be a big play. And you're seeing it with Pinterest's buy button. So those are all things that have happened where people have been disrupted. And again, it doesn't mean it wiped out the industry. It just means it wiped out some players who did not adapt successfully, who did not change to the way their customers needed them to change or in the way that their customers needed them to change such that they could sustain themselves. Today, we're going through it now with Airbnb and Uber. Right? Airbnb is doing things like they've just released their open source pricing algorithm. That should be their secret sauce, you would think. The thing that tells their hosts how much they should charge for a rental on a given night. But they seem to be so confident that they'll still be able to compete, they're making that publicly available for people to use and remix in different ways. And the benefit is, to them, is it gets them deeper into the marketplace. It makes them more commonly used, and that's a huge thing. Airbnb is only like 3%, 2% of all of the types of rentals that they do. But they're the one everybody's talking about because they're reshaping the game. I wrote a couple of pieces about this over the last few weeks for my Travel Tuesday series that talked about, one, are hotel brands doomed? And two, how safe are independent hotels from Airbnb? And if you take out Airbnb and hotels and just look at this in terms of platforms and existing business models, you can apply that in a lot of realities. I mean, we're seeing this thing where Conan O'Brien just listed his production studio on Airbnb. You can spend the night there. That was never possible before. And it's working because they've really thought through what it means and how to be an effective marketplace in today's world. We're seeing the same thing with Uber. And lots of stuff there where Uber has, you know, they've talked about their privacy policy doesn't provide a lot of privacy because they're collecting a lot of data so that they can build new services. There's a piece from a newspaper in Pittsburgh that talks about their new test car that really exists to collect data. We've mentioned it before on the show. I've mentioned it before on the show, but Uber Eats, where they're going to go and they're going to deliver food in a lot of places from various restaurants because they're going to predict in advance what it is you're going to order, which is crazy, crazy. But that's what disruption looks like. And we're seeing it in other areas as well. You know, Steve Jobs, in his piece on the Washington Post, has a whole list. People in healthcare and education and transportation and food and energy and government and financial services all stand to be disrupted by new services that exist in ways that could not occur before. I've talked about this one before, but there's this service called Maple, which is a delivery-only restaurant. You order the food, they make the food, and then they bring it to you. But you can't go there and sit down at a table because that's not how they roll. And that could be done anywhere, in any market, with almost any business. You know, think about TV networks and notice how many cable channels there are, and notice how people like YouTube are launching gamer channels to compete both with traditional TV and with things like Amazon's Twitch, which are where a lot of millennials go who are into gamers, and especially a lot of gamers, go to watch their TV. You know, it's not really TV the way anybody who's been in TV for a long time thinks about it, but it's certainly a different way of consuming media, and it's the way your customers continually do so and are continuing to evolve. I've talked about programmatic buying before and how media planners are in bigger trouble because now algorithms are deciding where media should go. And again, that's what disruption looks like. It's coming in places we hadn't seen it before because they're thinking about how your customers want to act with what they want, how they're going to find what they want, how they're going to choose what they want, and actually get the service delivered to them. Now, how can you compete? Well, in the time we have left, I'm only going to talk about two of these, but there's a bunch, and I'll keep talking about them over the next couple weeks. So the first is you have to own the data. If you notice what I've talked about in all of these, you got to own the data again and again and again. Ideally, you'd have a fingerprint for your customer, right? Something that's both diverse enough that it separates each customer from one another and stable enough that it never changes. So things like transactional data really aren't stable or diverse, but they do provide excellent color or insights, give you a better sense of the whole, the totality of your customer. Social profiles are very good to have, but to be fair, they're not terribly stable, and they're diverse enough because they identify, you know, your Twitter handle is your Twitter handle, but you can change that at any time. Email is a really good one, but it's also not fully stable. The best one by far right now is people's mobile number. Tends to be unique, tends not to change very often. And of course, when you aggregate all this content, when you aggregate all this data, you've got a picture of somebody's mobile, somebody's email, somebody's social profile, somebody's transactional data. You can start to get a pretty holistic picture of who your customer is and what they need. And the thing that's great about that is it becomes a moat. It becomes the thing that protects your business from disruptors because you know more about your customer than anyone else can. or at least you will if you do it well. And then the second thing you can do is you need to test and learn. You want to use the data you have to target your customers more directly and then see what works so that you can further build. Use the data to say, okay, this is working better. This is working less well. We're going to put more energies towards the one that works. We're going to take energy away from the ones that don't work and just build on that to continually get a better, clearer picture of your customer and a more effective way to build your business and build your brand. So disruption is real. It's definitely something you have to watch. It's definitely something that's going to cause you some heartburn and heartache potentially over the next bunch of years. But if you own your customers' data and you use that data to test and learn from your marketing activities, you're going to be in a position to protect yourself really well and even grow your business and maybe, just maybe, disrupt some people on your own. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are out of time for this week. But as ever, I want to thank you so much for tuning in. I want to remind you that you can subscribe to the podcast by going to timpeter.com/podcast and clicking on the subscribe link in any of the episodes you find there. You can also subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher Radio or your favorite, whatever your favorite podcatcher happens to be. Just do a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or plain old Thinks Out Loud. You can also email me, just like Brian did. Brian, thank you again so much for the email. You can send an email to podcast@timpeter.com. Again, that is podcast@timpeter.com with comments, questions, complaints, concerns, whatever happens to be top of mind for you. I'd love to hear from you. With that, I hope you have a spectacular week ahead. I hope you have a great weekend. And I will look forward to speaking with you again here on Thinks Out Loud next week. Till then, take care, everybody.